The epistle to be read for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. In the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Words taken from today's gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you about a king, a battle, and a conversion. The king was a man named Clovis. Clovis was the king of a barbarian people named the Franks. In the middle of the 2nd century AD, the Franks had established themselves in the Roman province of Gaul, which is now modern-day France. And with the collapse of the Roman Empire in the West in the year 476, this province of Gaul was now ruled for the most part by the Franks. Barbarians by nature move about, but the Franks settled in this territory that is now, as I said, France. And Clovis was their king in the 5th century. He was a pagan, but nonetheless, he had a great respect for the church. He especially had a great esteem and even a love for Saint Remigius, who was the bishop of the city of Reims. Now, interestingly, Clovis, though a devout pagan, so to speak, was actually married to a Catholic princess named Clotilda, who is better known as Saint Clotilda. And yet, despite the holy influence of St. Remigius and St. Clotilda, Clovis would not become Catholic. He refused to be baptized. And he did this not because he despised the faith. He did it because he could not come to believe in the supernatural teachings of the Catholic faith. And even more, perhaps, he was afraid that he would lose the support of his people. But in that year, 496, the barbarian tribe, the Suevi, invaded France. And Clovis and his army of Franks were determined to stop them. While preparing to leave for battle, St. Clotilda said to him, "My husband, you are going to fight a great battle, but the victory will only be yours if you call upon the true God, the God of the Christians. He alone is the master of the whole world, and he is the God of armies. If you believe in him, and if you call upon him with confidence, there is no power on earth that can overcome you. You will certainly triumph over your enemies." Now, the king listened to her. As I say, he loved her and he respected her. He promised to remember her words, but in this he was humoring her. He already had a plan for the battle, and the plan was to attack and destroy the enemy. And thus he listened to her, he humored her, but he set out for the battle. The two armies met that afternoon. During the course of the battle, all was going well for Clovis as he had planned, until one of his captains was struck down on the battlefield and killed. And with the death of that Frankish captain, the soldiers in his infantry broke rank and panicked and began to retreat. Clovis, seeing this, rode to the front of that battle line. He called them back, but all was in vain. The Franks paid no heed to his words, and they were fleeing as the Suevi captured the field and began a hot pursuit of the Frankish soldiers. At length, it was at this point that a Christian soldier rode up beside Clovis, and he pleaded with him, "My king, call now upon the God of Clotilda, and you will yet gain the victory." It was then, historians write, Clovis remembered the words of Clotilda. After a few moments, he dismounted from his horse. He knelt on the ground, he removed his battle helmet, he raised his eyes toward heaven, and he prayed, "O Jesus Christ, whom Clotilda calls the Son of the Living God, who comest to the help of those who call upon thee, and givest victory to those who have confidence in thee. I ask thee now for help. I believe in thee, I hope in thee. If thou wilt, thou canst give me victory today over my enemies." Shortly after Clovis finished this prayer, after he had remounted his horse and threw himself into the battle, the Suevi captain that was leading the charge was struck down by a Frankish soldier. And now it was the Suevi who panicked, broke ranks, and began a retreat. Clovis then rallied his soldiers and led them in pursuit. He utterly defeated the Suevi army and won the day. But he did recognize that he himself was not the victor that day. He knew in his heart that the God of Clotilda, our Lord Jesus Christ, had really won the day. And thus, immediately after this great victory, Clovis and thousands upon thousands of his soldiers and his people began taking instructions in the faith from St. Remigius and the priests at Reims. And it was on Christmas night, the night of our Lord's holy birth, in the year 496, that Clovis and thousands of his people and soldiers were baptized by St. Remigius and the priests at Reims. And with the baptism of King Clovis and the vast majority of the people, the one true Catholic faith was firmly established in what would become the French nation. In fact, France was the first nation, so to speak, in which the faith was wholly received. And hence, on account of this, she has always been called the eldest daughter of the Church. Now, today's Gospel, my dear friends, recounts two miracles of Christ: the healing of a leper and the healing of a servant of a Roman centurion. You see, it was after our Lord had finished the Sermon on the Mount. He was walking down the mountainside where he was met by a leper. And the leper approached our Lord, and he said to him, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." In other words, the leper said to Christ, "If it is thy will, I will be healed." And thus, he resigned himself to the will of Christ. "Whatever you want, whatever you say." But at these words, our divine Savior stretched forth his hand, and he actually touched the leper. He said, "I will, be thou made clean." And the leper was instantly healed. And after healing the leper, our divine Savior came to the city of Capernaum. And there he was met by a Roman centurion. And the centurion besought him to come and heal his servant. He had heard about Christ, and he believed. Though a Roman and a pagan, he believed Christ was the Son of God. Our Lord agreed to come, but it was then that the centurion uttered those wondrous words. Wondrous words, my dear friends, of confidence. Words which the Catholic Church has immortalized in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." In other words, the centurion humbly believed that our Lord was the Son of God. And thus, one word from his mouth was sufficient to heal his servant. He did not have to come. It wasn't necessary. He only had to say the word, and it was done. And so great was the faith of this Gentile that our divine Savior marveled. He marveled at his faith. And then he remarked to all the Jews who were accompanying him, he said, "Amen, I say to you." And any time our Lord began a sentence with "Amen," it was directed. It was pointed. He said, "Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel." And so, my dear friends, the faith of the Roman centurion, the faith of the leper, must be with us. In other words, our faith must have the resignation and confidence of the leper, and the humility and the trust of that Roman centurion. We must firmly believe that God can and will grant us what request we make, if such be his holy will. And if it is not his holy will to grant what we request, we must humbly accept it. For whether our Lord answers our request with a yes or a no at the moment, he will always respond according to what is best for us and for those for whom we pray. How many people pray like the leper for the temporal favor of being healed of bodily sickness? Or like that centurion who asked for someone else to be healed of a bodily sickness? And sometimes God answers yes, but sometimes and even often he answers no. I remember when my own mother was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And I remember how we prayed, how many masses I offered, how many other priests offered masses for her, how many rosaries and prayers we prayed. We all know someone. We all have our own, perhaps, family member who was sick unto death. And how we prayed. My mother died a few months later. God answered those prayers. And the answer he gave was he wanted her for himself. We must never forget, my dear friends, that God always answers prayers. Prayers that are offered in humility, prayers that are said with confidence, resignation, and perseverance. God always answers those prayers. But he answers them according to his infinite wisdom, which sees everything, and not just the moment, which only we see. We only see the moment. We don't see the future. We don't see the 100,000 or more moments that will follow that, but God does. And thus, in his infinite wisdom, he answers prayers by which he knows what is best for us and what is best for others. What is most important, my dear friends, and what we must never lose sight of, especially perhaps we can say in light of everything that has happened in our own nation and all the masses, all the novenas, all the holy hours that were prayed and done and said. What we must never lose sight of is that in the end, it all comes out right. And by that I mean this: eternal salvation is obtained. For that we and others save our souls is the only thing that really matters. That we and others go to heaven for all eternity is the only thing that really matters in the end. And did you know that it will be an eternity? It will be an eternity that we will then see the wondrous effects of the prayers we might think went unanswered. It is then we will see the wondrous effects of our prayers, our petitions, said with humility, prayed with confidence and perseverance. Clovis, the king of the Franks, by God's grace believed that God could grant his request on the battlefield. He humbly asked for it. He resigned himself to God's will. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst give me the victory today." And our Lord said, "Yes," because his infinite wisdom saw not just that moment of a victory on a battlefield, he saw the future. He saw the rise of a great Christian nation that would come from that battle. We have to have the confidence, the trust, the humility that God will answer us to according to what is best for us and best for those for whom we pray. And how, my dear people, ought we to pray and offer our petitions to God through, with, and in the most blessed Virgin Mary? She who is the mediatrix of all grace, she who alone has found a favor with God that no one else will ever have. How we ought then to frequently and fervently pray to Mary Immaculate, the Mother of Mercy, who really is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. How we ought to commend and commit to her all our needs, all our wants, all our requests. Pray then, my dear friends, pray with confidence, pray with resignation, pray with perseverance, and pray like the leper in today's gospel who said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst do this for me." And our Lord is going to answer according to his wisdom and his infinite love for us. "I will. Be it done." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.